Hey Titans, this is Emily Wilson, the editor-in-chief of the Daily Titan. The front page story of the print edition of the Daily Titan was an editorial about non-governmental publications on the city of Fullerton's property. It was written by myself, managing editor Ruben Montoya, associate managing editor Brian Jimenez, with contributions from our social media editor Luis Vizcaino. The four of us did not work on the news story. Our digital managing editor Isaiah Malari and our news editor Michelle King handled that. We separated our team in order to maintain objectivity and avoid biases for either story. In the editorial, we condemn the proposed policy for its attacks on press freedom and urge the Fullerton City Council to reconsider. The statement that we released on Thursday and the editorial can be found at dailytitan.com, along with the rest of our stories from this week's broadsheet. Thank you for listening.
Dude, we're coming down to the wire.
I know, Loki, only six of them left.
I know, I think the people, like, they, we need him, that pizzazz. Like.
Yeah, I think you need to do something like cool for the intro.
Do you have any recommendations?
I think you should, you know, just keep it classic.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Throw him a little something light. What's going on, Titans? Welcome back to another episode of Daily Titan Podcast, or DC Pod for short. In today's episode, we're breaking down volume 117, issue number 11 of the Daily Titan student newspaper. We're going to be going over a couple of stories, including a recent city council policy proposal, as well as a lifestyle story about a comic book store. We're also going to be talking about an opinion on over-enrollment, as well as breaking down a story on one of baseball's biggest stars at CSUF. Stay tuned, Titans.
No.
And by the way, I'm your news design editor, Kabir Kansar, and I'm joined with...
the opinion editor, Jaden Lovelady.
All right, we're going to lead off this episode by talking about a recent policy proposal from City Council that put some potential limits on Fullerton publication materials. And to talk about the story with us, we have the latest and greatest in the line of news editors. We have Michelle King here to break it down for us.
Hello.
Hello. So please tell us about this.
Before we start, I just wanted to say that this proposal could affect the Daily Titan. Our editorial board did write a statement, but I did not aid in the writing of that at all. I only worked on the news side of it. So just a little disclaimer.
Thank you for that.
Yes. All right. So at a city council meeting last week, there was a 4-1 vote for city staff to create a policy, really amend a policy about the types of publications that can be presented in City Hall, and kind of the guidelines around the approval of those publications and what can be put out. So currently there isn't really a lot of guidelines as to what can be displayed in city buildings, but this kind of change aims to just add some guidelines to the types of publications that can be out.
Where would these publications be affected at? Like, in what city facilities?
So the city facilities would include City Hall, the library, police and fire stations, any building that is owned by the city.
Yeah, so when I was reading the story, I thought it was really interesting that the whole catalyst for this conversation even being started was a blog, Friends for Fullerton's Future. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Like, how did that spark this whole conversation being started?
Yeah, so that group had asked the city if they were able to put out kind of a newsletter in city buildings. And that kind of sparked a conversation about what types of newsletters, publications, flyers the city wants in their city buildings. So it has kind of just sparked this discussion about guidelines and kind of refreshing that policy.
Was there a further discussion about the policy at the city council meeting?
There was, yes. It was initially in a closed meeting, but then it was open at the city council meeting where public commenters could speak on it as well.
With the policy being discussed at the open city council meeting, were there like other responses from other publications that distribute in Fullerton?
Yeah, so the Fullerton Observer is one of the big ones that's being impacted. They have released a statement. And the Daily Titan is also a big publication that is being potentially affected by it. And we also...
Did Friends for Fullerton's Future give their own statement about this?
They have, yes.
Is there like a general consensus among the three of them, or are all the statements kind of differing from each other?
All of the statements are not overly pleased with the vote.
So earlier you said there was a 4-1 vote and like in city council. Who was the one that voted against it?
That was council member Zara. He voted against it. He released a statement as well, saying that he believes that it is an encroachment on the First Amendment right, limiting these publications and really limits civic engagement as well.
For publication materials that do make it through this sort of approval process that they're working on formulating, do they have like a specific way they'd be displayed or like something specific as to how they would go about that?
Yeah, so they're going to have a community cork board where approved posters and flyers materials can be hung up for a week. There are like size requirements on the posters, but that's all part of the approval process. And then Councilmember Charles also spoke about doing a community news rack as well. So that was kind of brought up so that local newspapers could still put out their publications. But that's all in the works right now.
So as you mentioned earlier, with this proposal being kind of prompted by Friends for Philadelphia's Future wanting to distribute their newsletter, did they ever receive a response, or like was there anything that happened further with that process after this was proposed?
They posted that they did not receive a response, that it just went straight to city council and to a vote to change policy.
Okay, I have a really serious question now. If you were a Fullerton City Council member and you could approve anything your heart's desire, what would it be?
It would be, I think, that every Friday evening, all streets are closed in downtown Fullerton and turned into slip and slides.
Wait, that's a good
I'm
one.
I'm a big fan of this
that's
idea.
That's a really good one.
How soon can we make this happen?
Build community. I think it, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. a walkable city, a slidable yeah. city.
That's very, like, environmentally conscious of you. You know
yes.
what I'm saying?
Yes.
And, like, really accessible, too.
Yes.
That's really
anybody,
beautiful.
Anybody can participate.
Do you think we could propose this to them?
Yes.
Should I write an opinion about this next week?
Yes.
Do you think?
Yes. Okay. And I will write about it when it is approved.
Okay.
5.
Y'all need graphics?
Yeah. Wait.
Yes.
This is, yeah.
yes. A map of the slides. A map of the slides.
All right. Good.
But if you were a Fullerton City Council member and you could propose anything, what would it be?
This is a hard thing to follow up. Me personally, I would make on every Sunday, the small businesses of Fullerton must donate one good or pastry to the Daily Titan because we work really hard on Sundays and I need a little treat and a little coffee.
Wow.
And I think we're the watchdogs of the community. So it's like, right. I need to watch what's good. And how will I know what's good if I don't watch
yes.
for it?
And you can
you know
have opinions
saying?
On them too.
Yes.
Because that's all you.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
What about you?
And perhaps you could do a graphic.
Yes. Yes. What about you, news design editor?
These are tough policies.
That's what I'm saying.
Man.
Not sure if they will pass, but.
Mine would.
I hope mine will.
We can only see next
we
week.
We can only hope.
If I was on Fullerton City Council, every parking lot that is consistently like less than 20% full turned into a swimming pool.
Mm.
Community swimming pool.
Cars straight into the pool or what?
No, they'll find somewhere else to park.
Okay.
Wow.
But we need more swimming pools.
Well,
summer's coming around. It's heating up. People should get outside.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
What about when it's winter?
Then we have ice skating rinks.
Wow.
So it actually, we're in Southern California, so.
No, we'll make it happen.
Okay.
Trust.
Would that be your follow-up proposal?
No, they're like part of the same one.
Okay. Wow. That's awesome. Okay. We should get to work.
Yeah.
So
a lot of bills to drive.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's walk in.
A lot of work.
All right, flipping the page on over to Lifestyle, we're going to be talking about a feature written on a comic book store down in Mission Viejo, written by Raniel Santos, our opinion assistant editor.
Yeah, so the story is centered on Nuclear Comics, which is a comic book store located in Mission Viejo that also has another location down in San Diego. And the story focused mainly on like the diverse array of comics they have in the store, from like popular names to not popular names, but also sort of on the journeys of the people that work at the store, you know, talking about them sort of coming in as kids and sort of growing their love for comics through reading.
Yeah, the store was founded and is owned by Kenny Jacobs right now, who also handles the social media post.
Yeah, Jacobs has been like an avid social media user, according to what's written in the story, because he's been using platforms like Facebook and Instagram to constantly promote the different sales and different functions he has going on at the comic book store.
Yeah, I thought a good quote from the story from Jacobs was, he said comic book stores are important on the same level that bookstores exist. And I thought that was a really good point to bring up, because I feel like people glaze over comics and the importance of them in pop culture, like, way too often. You know, like, I mean, everyone knows, like, Marvel and, like, DC, those are the biggest franchises to come from comics and stuff. But popular TV shows like The Umbrella Academy, they branched off from comics as well. And I feel like a lot of people don't realize, like, I don't know, how much media comes from, like, the creation of comic books, like, the same way that novels.
No, definitely. Definitely. I mean, like, even super popular shows right now, like Invincible, are based off of, like, comic, like, work that originated in comic books and in those pages. So I think that, like, sort of having these stores to be sort of a mainstay of that kind of pop culture, to really get people introduced to those characters and sort of show how their stories grow over time, it's, like, a really valuable asset to have in a community.
Yeah. It goes along with the conversation of, like, the analog is important, you know? Like, physical media and stuff like that. And it's cool to see, like, the different sectors of trying to keep that alive, like through comic books, through cameras, through like all of this like renaissance of like all this physical
this,
media
like,
and stuff like
media.
That.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Every store like this is important in like, you know, the whole wave of keeping this stuff alive. So it's cool to see.
No, definitely. Because like these sort of things are kept alive by the people on the ground that are like in these stores, working these stores and everything. So the fact that they kind of still have that love and enough to come in every day and like be a part of that culture is awesome.
Yeah.
But I do have a very important question for you.
What would that be?
You got a favorite comic book? Favorite superhero?
Favorite superhero? Like, guys, okay, don't be mad. It is Batman. I'm sorry. I don't like Marvel. I'm a DC girl. And it's going to be Batman. I'm sorry. He's cool.
Respectable.
Hey.
That's a respectable take. Big fan of The Watchmen.
What's
over
yours?
Here. Favorite superhero or favorite comic book? Because they're different for me.
Well, you asked both. So,
I guess
favorite
both.
Superhero.
Favorite superhero? I'm gonna have to go with you on the DC wave. I'm gonna say like Dr. Manhattan. Yeah.
Okay, I have a better question. Who's your favorite villain?
Ooh, that is a good one. Favorite villain? I like the Joker a lot. Big
Mine's
fan of the Joker.
Penguin.
The Penguin.
I couldn't understand how he was a villain. Even when I was little and I was reading like the really old like 70s comics, I couldn't understand how he was such a villain because he's so like holly and jolly looky.
Right,
like in
right.
his dialogue, I was like, oh, okay, I guess he's bad. But hey.
If you had one comic book you're looking to read right now, what would it be?
It would actually ironically be Watchmen. I've never read it. And I know that my favorite band did a song for their movie, so I want to read it.
It's pretty good.
Hey. All right, heading on over to my favorite desk, Opinion. We're going to be talking about an opinion on over-enrollment written by Giselle Medina, my opinion assistant.
Yeah, I thought the story was good because it highlighted some of the concerns that students have about, like, the constantly climbing enrollment rate that we have at Fullerton. Because it does put a strain on our ability to, like, make sure that students get what they need and make sure that they have all the resources they need going into, like, you know, the endeavor of, like, getting a degree.
I think it was a really good angle that she took writing this story to reinstate that, like, your college experience and, like, campus life, it's not just, like, living on campus and, like, going to parties and blah, blah, blah. It's like what you deal with every day, like fighting for parking and like, I don't know, like the stuff you look at when you're walking to class and how nice the campus is and stuff like that. And that's something that the campus won't be able to uphold or make better if they continuously enroll more and more students that already don't fit here.
Yeah. One of the quotes in the article that I thought was like kind of impactful because it sort of quantified everything was about how like, on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., there's no classroom spaces available anywhere on campus because they're all full. And if all those classes are already full, then, like, having additional students that come in through enrollment, it's only going to make those classes fuller. And at some point, we're going to get to a point where we just can't, like, facilitate all of those students.
Yeah, another point she touched on was housing and how Vincent Vigil, the Senior Associate Vice President for Student Affairs, he basically said, he was like, housing is housing. And, like, it's not like we can just poof more houses, basically.
Right.
And it's kind of like, I don't know, it's just, it further implements this, like, administration's goals are different than, like, a student's goals, right? In terms of, like, what we want from campus. And the gap between those two are very far, you know?
Definitely.
And over-enrollment only decreases the chance that we'll see eye to eye on stuff like that as far as, like, students and administration go. So continuously over-enrolling, like, And I think it should be said too, like, the reason for all this over-enrollment and stuff like that is because it, like, the amount of graduations and the amount of, like, our student body directly impacts the budget that we get.
Definitely.
And, like, how much funding we get as a school and as a CSU system. So that's why Fullerton has, like, goals for enrollment, and they often exceed them because they're trying to, you know, make our finances better, which is understandable, but it all comes, you know, it all comes with benefits and losses.
No, definitely. Like, while the financial state of the school is super important to maintain and, like, keep at a high level, it's also important to factor in, like, each student's individual experience, because they're more than just statistics. As stated in the article, like, students are more than just, like, statistics and dollar signs. They're also people that are here to come get a good quality education and, like, really move on with their life beyond Fullerton. So to make sure every student has the resources they need to pursue that quality of life after Fullerton, when we over-enroll, we essentially, like, lose the amount of resources each student gets because we're trying to spread so thin across every student.
Exactly, and that was a good point brought up by John Bursky in their interview, that, like, the faculty is just spread too thin. Like, they have too much on their plate, and, like, adding more students on top of that, it's just like you said, like, there are no classes free Tuesdays at one because we're just so full. How is adding more to that going to help? I know it'll impact the budget in a positive way, but what's the money even going to be used for if not to make campus life better?
Exactly. And I mean, like, in the same way, like, we don't have enough spaces for students to even go in and learn in classes and stuff like that, it's also, like, think about how this affects, like, academic advising. Mm-hmm. There's already so few academic advisors on campus to help students, like, find the classes they need. And if we're enrolling more students and yet keeping the same amount of academic advisors, like, we're just going to have more students that aren't sure about the path they're taking at Fullerton. Sliding on into sports, we're going to be talking about one of CSUF baseball's biggest stars with our official sports correspondent, Nick Wire. Nick, who are we talking about today?
We're going to be talking about Matthew Bardowell.
Why is he important?
Well, he's one of the team's leading hitters. And we thought he had a cool story because he's a community college transfer. He came here last year, really struggled last year in his first year with the Titans. And you look at the record, it was our worst record ever in Titan history. And so this year, as the team is hovering around 500, they're two games above 500, and he's having a great year. And we wanted to highlight just his improvement at the D1 level and his whole story of just persevering through various struggles in the sport of baseball, because it's a sport where there's a lot of failure, more failure than success.
Yeah,
so. That's awesome. Where's he? How did this baseball journey start for him?
Well, he's been playing for a long time. Actually, the very beginning of the story, it talks about how he didn't like baseball just because there's so much failure in the sport. And it took a lot. It took a growth spurt and just a lot of practice, hard work, and hitting the weight room, things like that. And you look at him now, he's top 10 in hits, in RBIs, in batting average, and he's played 29 of their games. So,
You talk about his success and his improvement. How does this season for him compare to his last season at Fullerton?
In terms of production?
Like the numbers, the production, all of it.
Right. So like I was saying, last season he really struggled. He just had a very hard time adjusting to the D1 level. And he even started to speak about this. You could read the story. He had a lot of mental struggles while he was struggling physically to play the game. And so he hit the off season, really worked on his mental, just that he could believe that he could do it, and now he's showing it. So it's cool. It's cool to see that, and it's really cool to see the Titans actually winning games and succeeding this year. So
it's always interesting to see how, like, mind over matter, that phrase, like, really shines in sports.
Yeah.
And how, like, you really have to have your mental right to have your physical.
Because that's where it starts. Yeah. It starts up here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Nick, if you were on the CSUF baseball team, what position would you want to play?
I would want to play center fielder.
Center fielder?
Mm-hmm. You see the whole field, you have command of the outfield, and you have the most range to run both sides.
Large and in charge.
It's a really thought-out answer, actually.
Yeah, honestly, that's a way better one than
I'd be Mike Trout, so that's what Mike Trout does. So.
Battle Mike Trout.
Yeah.
You have a position you want to play?
I want to swing the bat.
Fire.
Yep, and hit the home runs. Yep. I would do that.
Yep.
I would do that.
That's a thing.
Yep. Amazing. That's a thing in baseball that I would do.
I heard they do that often, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I would do that.
Or they try to, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you would. You would hit it often.
Yeah.
Thank you. I also think so. Yeah. Thank you.
And that's going to be it for this week's episode of DT Pod. Be sure to pick up a copy of the Daily Titan on campus or check us out at dailytitan.com to read the articles mentioned and many more. Thank you all for listening. And week after week, if you like us, we love you.
All right, Titans, don't go anywhere too fast because you know we got to give a special thank you to our production team over here at DT Pod. So first of all, I want to start off with a special thank you to our executive producers, Isaiah Malari and Emily Wilson. Another thank you going out to our producer, Luis Vizcaino, as well as some thank yous for our assistant producers, Raniel Santos and Michelle King. Another big old thank you going out to Bijan Schuster-Risade for providing this week's music. And an even bigger thank you going out to everyone that tuned in for this episode. Thank you all for listening and tune in next week. And make sure you pick up a copy of that paper on campus. We'll see you soon, Titans.